all right, we took a little break. We're back with three more games to look at. Obviously, we're going to go to the Sunday night matchup, critical Sunday night matchup. The Patriots gave the Eagles, kept them honest, and nearly pulled off the upset. But obviously, they came up short, and now they entered division play against their longtime rivals, the Dolphins. Miami's coming off a big win on the road, kind of like New England. It was a back-and-forth contest, but unlike New England, they were able to pull that off. Should be interesting. This should be an interesting matchup here on Sunday night. Tua going to Foxborough. He didn't play last year there, but he will be in the lineup this time. A lot of interesting deals here. Like I said, the Patriots played very strong defensively, and the Eagles didn't play well offensively as well as they needed to. But this is a much more dangerous passing attack that Belichick better have a good game plan for, because if he doesn't, he'll get burned. We'll see what happens here. So go to this matchup.
All right. Well, we saw New England last week. They got a good D. Their offense is, I wouldn't say great, but it's definitely a lot more improved under Bill O'Brien than it was under Matt Patricia last year. And I mean, anybody with a half a brain could have seen that coming, you know. But Mac Jones looked decent. I wouldn't say he looked like a star, but he did throw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns against the Eagles' secondary. So, which, you know, it's after this last game, you know, that secondary is not looking too great. But still, give it to him. Give him props. They're going up against Miami, and Tua was on fire last week. Him to Tyreek Hill, the connection. Tua threw for 466 yards. He went off. And that's something that we saw last year a lot in the first half of the year before Tua got hurt and their season kind of went off the rails. So he's back and healthy, playing well. And that's not good for New England. Obviously, New England, with Bill Belichick, you know, they're going to come prepared. They're not going to let up 400 yards passing to Tua. But at the same time, they haven't played well against Tua. Tua's 4-0 against New England so far in his career. So that doesn't bode well for them. One thing I was earlier in the week looking at was this storm that's out in the Atlantic. I thought maybe with all the wind, if depending on the track it took, there would be a lot of wind and maybe this would affect the Dolphins' passing attack. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. It looks like it's a mild wind, nothing crazy, nothing that's going to affect the deep ball, which is what they love to throw. So, man, I look at this one, and I just don't think New England has the firepower on offense to keep up. So I'm going with Miami with a final score of 34-24.
Yeah, this is going to be tougher for New England to deal with because Miami might have the best passing attack in the league. And that's wisely why the Dolphins are going to be very tough to deal with this year for any team. I mean, if Tua's throwing like this, if he stays healthy and he's throwing the way he's been throwing, it's going to be very difficult for any team to stop because he's throwing well. Obviously, you know that Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, as dangerous as they are, will get what they get. So this is a critical game plan for Belichick and his defensive staff, because you know last week they kind of kept the Eagles honest most of the game. You know, there was five straight drives for the first time in the Jalen Hurts era. He did not put together. You know, Jalen Hurts did not put together five straight three and outs, and that's very important. But then again, I think the Eagles are going to play much better offensively. They did last night, or on me on Thursday. So obviously, I don't think that would happen again if those two were to meet, which I'm sure they won't. But in this situation, it's going to be much tougher for the Patriots to deal with this passing attack. Like I said, Tua is going to go nuts, and like you said, he has never lost to Belichick, and that's hard to believe. Belichick has had his way with quarterbacks, but somehow Tua Tagovailoa is not one of them. So I can see the Miami going up there and putting up big numbers, and I just don't think the Patriots are going to hang. Though I think Mac Jones could throw for 3 touchdowns. I think it's going to be kind of a garbage related. I think Miami's going to potentially blow him out. I just think that's offense, that high power, is going to be too much. So I'm going to go with Miami and the final score 38-27.
Okay.
Now I go to my game of the week. And like I said, I mean, this is something to think about. I mean, Kansas City's coming off of a surprising loss to start the season. But a lot of it could be considered an asterisk because of the fact that, one, they did not have Travis Kelce. And two, they didn't have Chris Jones. Both of them were out for this matchup. The good news is they're both back in. But how effective will either man be? We'll see. Jacksonville's coming off a big victory to start the season. And this is a critical matchup because this is a playoff rematch from last year. These two teams obviously met in the divisional round last year, and Kansas City got the better of this upstart team. But then again, this is a critical matchup, and it's a personal matchup because it's teacher versus student at the head coach. WP learned everything from Big Red, and now he's a great coach in his own right. So obviously a critical deal for these two to go at together. It's a coaching matchup. It's a critical matchup. It's my game of the week. And for Kansas City, they do not want to go 0-2 at all. This could potentially break some spirits. So go ahead.
All right. Well, you mentioned it, but I'm calling this the game of the backs, you know, and I'm not talking about running backs. Travis Kelce is back. Chris Jones is back. And Jacksonville is looking for payback from the playoffs last year. So, you know, Kelce, I'm not worried about him. You know, he missed a week and a half with the knee injury. He's fine. I'm a little bit worried about Chris Jones right now. Not because I don't think he'll be a great player this year, but the guy hasn't done anything in terms of practicing or anything like that for however long. And he's going right down in this Florida heat, you know. He's not going to – he might be back, but you can't play him a lot, man. He's going to be winded early. Yeah, he's not going to be that effective this week. You look at the other players for KC. I mean, obviously Mahomes without Kelce last week, he had a bad game and they lost that game. I would expect him to rebound. Like I always say, when a great player has a bad game, I always like to look at that and project a big game for to go after that. But I'm keeping an eye here on Jawan Taylor for the Chiefs. That guy, you look at that last week game, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about it. He looked like he was jumping off sides a lot, or I shouldn't even say off sides. He false starting a lot or lined up improperly. Maybe he's like the new Lane Johnson. He's just timing it perfectly, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the NFL, the refs and the NFL are going to be looking at that this week. And if he pulls that again, that's going to wreck Casey's offense and their their offense in general. But Jacksonville, you know, Trevor Lawrence didn't have a good game last week. They pulled out the victory, but Lawrence didn't play well either. So you look at Mahomes didn't play well, neither did Lawrence. So I expect him to have a big game. So now we're going into shootout territory in the Jacksonville Heat.
I'm sorry, man, but I say it all the time. I'm going to keep saying it. These teams coming from up north from a cooler weather area down to this Florida or even Arizona back, you know, they got a dome, somewhat of a dome now, but back before they had that dome, I mean, it's just a huge advantage. And coming into this season, I picked Jacksonville to be the number one seed. And part of it was
that they play the Chiefs in the first half of September at home, and they're looking for payback from that playoff loss. And even though Peterson is 0-3 against Andy Reid in his career, I think he gets that first victory finally. So I'm going with Jacksonville in a shootout, but it's going to be tight. But I just think that Chiefs defense is going to be sucking wind by the end of the game. So I'm going Jacksonville, final score. I'm going to say 39-37.
Wow, you got this as a shootout. Well, like I said, I don't know. I mean, when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs roster, there's some serious concerns. Yeah, they're the defending champ. You got the best quarterback, a great head coach, and everything's right with Kelce and Jones coming back. But the problem is, without Travis Kelce, that receiving core is very weak. It's not very deep, and that's hard to believe. This is the Chiefs we're talking about. But they don't have the unnecessary weapons that you're going to need to win this year. Kadarius Toney is your best threat if you take Kelce out. And the problem is, he's now on that Aaliyah level receiving-wise. And then, like I said, Chris Jones, they didn't get a pass rush. They couldn't get a pass rush. So they are desperately needed for this matchup. And like I said, Jacksonville, you know, they weren't great last week, but they got by. You know, they never win in Indianapolis, so that surprised them that they somehow was able to get a victory against the Colts in Indy. But things could be different for Jacksonville this year. So, I mean, this is a critical matchup for both teams, and especially for the Chiefs, because Andy Reid's worst season was 2014. As a Chiefs coach, was 2014. They went 9-7 and missed the playoffs. The only year he missed the postseason as their head coach, and the only year he didn't win double-digit games. And not only that, they did start 0-2 that year in 2014. So I'm not saying that this team's going to miss the playoffs or anything like that, but, I mean, it's too early to tell. But, I mean, there is that criticism there that they have to get things going. Mahomes has to play a very good game. He threw a pick six last week, never threw an interception in a, you know, in an opening game, but here he threw a pick six. So there are concerns, but I think this is a game that they can bounce back. I mean, yeah, Jacksonville's going to be really good. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, he'll throw well. Calvin Ridley, I think, is going to have a monster game. I think he can have a better game this time than he did last week.
Yeah,
but
I think
at the
so
end
too.
Of the day, what?
I think so too.
But the thing is, Kansas City has to be more desperate because they're a team that's trying to repeat and all that, and they feel like, you know, they're vulnerable, and they are vulnerable. They're more vulnerable than they were last year. So at the end of the day, I mean, it's going to be a battle. I do agree it's going to be a battle. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game than you're anticipating. I think, you know, unless they start scoring early, I don't think they're going to be scoring late. So I'm going to go with Kansas City here. I think they find a way. They find a way because they know if they start 0-2, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be concerns and trouble. And all the national pundits will start wondering, is there something wrong with the Chiefs? Is there something really wrong? They'll avoid that at least for this week. So I got the Chiefs winning on the road. I understand you live in Florida. September is not the best month of the year to go down there dealing with the heat and humid, but we're getting later in the year anyway, so eventually it's going to, at least the humidity part will slowly start to creep away soon in Florida, because it, obviously you go down there in December, it's a whole lot better to go down there than it is at any time of the year, because everywhere else is going to be probably no better than 30 degrees and we're digging out feet of snow. Most of them be. That's the theory. But at the end of the day, I don't think the humidity and the heat's going to scare the Chiefs, and they'll find a way to win. So I got the Chiefs winning. and the final score 29-24.
Yeah, well, you know, man, I mean, yeah, as the season goes on, it gets nicer, but dude, it's hot and humid in here throughout all of September. It doesn't start to cool down until October. By the end of October, it starts to get nice, but you know, it's hot and humid down here, just like August. It's really not much different right now than it is in August. So that's going to be a major factor.
Yeah, I understand. All right. So, like I said, the Eagles already played. So who's the last game normally when the Eagles don't play on our time? The Baltimore Ravens, my other team. So they have a very interesting matchup. The Cincinnati Bengals, and this is a critical matchup for both teams. The Bengals come off a very, like the Bills and the Chiefs, the Power 3, 0-1 start. Not a good start, and they did not look good at all with Burrow. But a very interesting matchup here with the Ravens. In a critical, we have to expect this is the battle for the AFC North in a critical division, but this will be a battle. It will be interesting. It will be desperate. The Bengals want to get off to a better start. We'll see what happens. But I don't have two games of the week, but you can say this is kind of a code one. But this is an interesting matchup. Two teams with expectations. Obviously, the Ravens are off to a fast start, but will things be different? Critical matchup here. And Bengals do not want to start 0-2 for the second straight year with their expectations. So go ahead.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, like you said, Cincinnati started off the season poorly last year, and they're continuing that trend again this year. Joe Burrow threw for a whole 84 yards last week. It was a terrible performance. Baltimore does have a good defense, but it's not, that's not, that level of ineptitude isn't going to happen again. Now, how good Cincinnati plays, we'll see. For Baltimore, they looked good last week overall, but they did lose their lead back, J.K. Dobbins. That's going to hurt them. You know, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, we've seen those guys over the years when Dobbins has been out, which is often, and they're not good. There's nothing special about those guys. So that's going to hurt their running game. They're going to need to be able to pass the ball on Cincinnati. A key player here is going to be Zay Flowers, the rookie. He had a nice debut last week, 9 receptions, 78 yards. They're going to need to get him and keep feeding him the ball. Mark Andrews, as far as I know, he's going to be back this week. So that's going to be a big help to the passing game. But, you know, you look at Baltimore. This year, they lost back-to-back games, weeks. Back-to-back weeks against Cincinnati in January. You know, the last game of the regular season and the first game in the playoffs. Obviously, Lamar Jackson was injured, so he didn't play, but still, they lost. I think Cincinnati, again, talking about an elite player having an awful performance in Joe Burrow, I think I tend to gravitate towards them having a big game the next week. So I'm looking at Joe Burrow having a big game. Lamar Jackson will have a good game, but not great. I think Cincinnati gets their third win of the year against Baltimore. So I'm going Cincinnati here, but the final score, it's going to be close, 31-27.
Well, yeah, they did beat them in back-to-back weeks, but let's be honest, it was an asterisk. Baltimore didn't need the last game of the regular season, so Cincinnati looked great beating them. And then in the playoffs, if they didn't make a mistake on the last drive, fumbling the ball, there's a very good chance Cincinnati would have been one and done in the playoffs. They would have went back to their traditional one and done selves, and the Ravens would have made a run without Lamar. Now, Now, I think that we have to be careful about this rivalry, because this is kind of a weird rivalry, because you don't know what the parts and pieces are every time these two teams play. And they don't have traditional bad blood like Cleveland and Pittsburgh do, because they go back to 1970 or even earlier than that. No, 1970. No, they did play 1950, my bad. They go back decades. This rivalry is only from 1996-7 era. So, I mean, to me, like I said, Lamar looked decent, but he didn't throw a touchdown. Zay Flowers, obviously, he, there's a lot of upside with the young man. I think he could be a very good receiver in this league. But like I said, it depends on how the role is with him. Obviously, like you said, J.K. Dobbins is out with an Achilles. He's out. Definitely, so done for the season. So, of course, it's going to be running back by committee. I can trust those guys, Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, by committee. But yeah, they don't have the breakaway speed that Dobbins has. And at this point, Dobbins might be done anyway, because here's a guy who's been basically injury prone the last couple of years. He missed most of 2021 with an injury. So yeah, things aren't going great there. But I can trust the Ravens a little more, because I think they're more aggressive. I think Lamar Jackson, he's had a lot of success against the Bengals in his career. Obviously, this is before the Burrow era began. But we'll see what happens here. So, like I said, the Bengals are going to be desperate. But unlike the Chiefs, I don't think they're going to be able to bounce back this week. I just think that there's something not right with the Bengals. There's something just not clicking, because I know that they struggle in Cleveland, but come on now. 82 yards passing against the Browns of all teams. Something that doesn't seem right. My bowling numbers were better than his passing yards. So, I mean, something tells me that Burrow, there's something wrong. Is he still hurt? We don't know. But he did seem a little gimpy running around there in the rain last week. So at this point, it's going to be a battle, but I'm going to go with the Ravens here. I think the Ravens are going to find a way. I don't know what's going on with the Bengals right now, to be honest with you. But I'm going to go with the Ravens. They win this game, and the final score, 32-24.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yep. And it's not that I'm picking the Ravens because I'm a homer. I'm just thinking that something with the Bengals ain't right now. They have to fix something. Something isn't, because the way they lost last week, something isn't. It doesn't seem right with them.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, they can fix it. They can blow them out or whatever. They're not going to blow out this Ravens team, but they'll do something. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. You never know, man. That's why they play the game.
Yep. That's how it works every given Sunday. So we looked at all the teams. Like I said, the Eagles played on Thursday night, beat the Vikings. We'll talk about that game. We'll obviously talk about what's going on in the league. Kwame and John will join us on Wednesday. Look back, week two. Should be very interesting. Did I do better in my bets? Did I win a game? That's what matters. Did I win a game? Because apparently, if I do win a game, I can make up ground on those two. Because apparently the Eagles did not cover, allegedly. So
yeah, that's true.
We'll see what happens. Because like I said, tomorrow I have to hope that my team, my game, my picks do well. We did our survivor pool. I picked. You. I don't know if you picked yet. Oh yeah, by the way, both Kwame and Jonathan picked the Ravens and the Bengals as their picks of the week. Kwame's intriguing matchup was Ravens and Bengals, and for fantasy purposes, John also picked that game. So we get that out. I mean, that's new this year. We have to put that out there. And Kenny's manager special was the Eagles Vikings. So we'll hear from everybody next week. Like I said, everybody enjoy this Sunday. The games Monday night. Like I said, if you're watching the games on Fox, you only get this one game, and then you watch Drag Racing the other, if you even care to. I'll be there in Reading tomorrow. So that's all I have for this episode. And we'll talk to y'all Wednesday.
Yeah, man.